Murray State President Dr. Bob Davies, I appreciate you taking the time to come up and speak with us today. At the most recent Board of Regents meeting on Friday, you mentioned the constraints and stresses of higher education and freedom of speech on college campuses. Why did you lead your report with this, and is there a freedom of speech issue at Murray State?
I led with that mainly because of not necessarily anything occurring at Murray State University, but things that are going on in the national news, the national attention, and across the country in multiple venues. And it just was, you know, one of those things that was something I didn't plan, and it wasn't something that spent the last week and a half preparing my remarks on. But over the legislative session, there are three bills that are in Frankfurt right now being discussed that deal with freedom of speech for students and others on university campuses, ranging from freedom of religious speech for political speech, various other things. There's one bill talks specifically about how a student can respond and how teachers need to grade and those type of things with regarding to religious beliefs and things along those lines. And then also various events that have occurred across our country, things that are going on in California and various other places. Just really something that's very important to me that we keep at the forefront. And then also waking up in the morning and seeing a couple headlines in New York Times and various other locations that just, again, limit our there's perceptions that are going on across the country that universities are not a place for free speech and a place where we do not allow for free speech. And I thought it was important as we started off our day with the Board of Regents, who sets the tone, who sets the marching orders for the aspects of a university. I also, for me as president, I wanted our faculty and our staff and our students to know my perspectives and thoughts on the necessity of free speech, the necessity of being able to debate ideas, the necessity to bring up contrary beliefs and opinions and do so in a manner that allows individuals to have that vigorous debate, to have a civil and civic debate, to allow other individuals to express their ideas contrary to ours, and then for us to challenge their ideas. And when someone expresses their ideas and are challenged, they must accept that challenge and defend their positions, or sometimes even alter and create new ideas and new theories. That's how the university systems, that's how universities should work. That's how, to be honest, the United States is supposed to work. And we are the marketplace of ideas, as I've talked about so many times. That is at the bedrock of it. As I looked at our agenda and so many past board meeting agendas, we don't deal or have not discussed that philosophical underpinning and the importance of that philosophical underpinning. And I wanted the board to know that at Murray State, in my estimation, are we perfect? No. But in my estimation, we value free speech. In my estimation, we uphold academic freedom for both faculty and the students. We believe in students and faculty and staff members engaging in that lively debate, and we want to encourage that. To me, that is the epicenter of a university. And at Murray State University, I want our faculty to know I will defend academic freedom. I will defend the opportunities for free speech. I want our students to know the same. It was one of those things I just felt very impassioned when I woke up in the morning and read some of those things and was walking across the campus and did my ritual of tapping the diploma from Rennie T. Wells. And to me, it was one of those things that just I felt I needed to do. I was very encouraged by the response I've received from faculty and staff and students and others, from board members talking to me about it and really appreciating that we took that moment, that brief moment, to reaffirm academic freedom, reaffirm the right of the freedom of speech, and also to understand the responsibilities that it comes with. I mean, these are not easy times. There's a lot of things going on, and we must be very, very respectful of all aspects and all areas. Over the weekend, I was interviewed by the Murray State News regarding diversity initiatives, and a comment that we're too comfortable. And freedom of speech is not necessarily made to be comfortable. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to put ourselves out there, and we need to be willing to accept those challenges. And to me, that's the part is important. We believe that we must keep people safe, both physically and I will say mentally. This is not a vendetta or anything like that. We can't have that. But education and learning and progressing is something that we should stretch our own quote-unquote levels of comfort and get into the zone where we ourselves are pressing ourselves and becoming better. So again, it just a lot of different things came into that. And if people know me, they know that I will not shy away from certain things. And there are certain things that are very, very important to me, and I will head those head on. And this was one of those times where I just felt it was important to do so. And so I did.
Yeah, you credited the faculty and staff for not telling people what to think, but helping people learn how to engage with others on civil dialogue and better understanding of society. It seems sort of interesting when we talk about the constraints and stresses of public education that having that and fostering that kind of atmosphere and that kind of dialogue takes time. It's the time investment in public education versus, and the challenge I think that we're seeing is the immediacy of social media and the internet and social media justice is that things happen so urgently and quickly. And that dialogue and conversation is happening at such a rapid clip that it sort of runs counter to the time investment in fostering that kind of understanding and thinking process in higher ed.
Absolutely. And I think social media and the internet and technology is a wonderful, wonderful tool on many, many respects, but it's also one, too, that distances people to a strange manner and enables individuals to put down arguments in 140 characters or less and make proclamations in which you lose context, you lose the intimacy of the discussion. And to be honest, I think that's a little sad as an outcome of that. It does require the immediacy of response and sometimes, you know, thoughtful, sometimes reflective, sometimes understanding the context and the situation is much more important than understanding the actual words. And again, that to me goes back to community. That goes back to the family atmosphere we have at Murray State University. And the family is a great analogy for this. Families don't always get along. Families are sometimes at their best right after they don't get along and have the debate and have the discussions, the hard discussions. And to me, that's very, very important. And I guess that's also another part of the reason I gave that little monologue there was to kind of express that importance. We don't and we should not teach individuals what to think, but how to think, how to register ideas, how to be logical and critical and mindful, how to do research, and how to gain and garner wisdom. And to me, that's the important part. You know, when you have someone that says universities are telling kids what to think, no, that's not what we do. We provide the foundation for discussion. We provide the foundation for logic. We want to encourage our students to, again, go outside their comfort zone and explore and to seek differences and then to reflect on those. We value scholarship for our faculty because of the same very reason. We don't want our faculty to always teach exactly the same way and the same exact things. This is an evolving, dynamic world, and we want our students to be able to compete effectively on the global platform, and that requires individuals to know how to collaborate and to communicate across many boundaries. And you get that through thoughtful and creative debate. You get that through thoughtful and creative and critical discussions. And so we need to embrace some of these moments and realize that not everyone thinks like we do. Not everyone has the same paradigm. Not everyone has the same background. Not everyone comes from the same philosophical understanding of the situation. And now is the time to learn from those, to embrace those, to bring those different thoughts and ideas together, not to have one person or one group assimilate into the other, but to understand the differences, to work around the differences, to work with the differences so that we can, in fact, make progress on many, many different fronts. No invention, no creative outpouring, no advancement in technology, no advancement in health, no advancement in science occurred because we always were comfortable and we stayed around people of our own thoughts and ideas. They all occur because someone challenged somebody else in a civil and civic way, but challenged them to think anew, to try something different, to explore, to make errors, and to learn from those errors and to advance and to move forward. And to me, that was really at the essence of that discussion and continues to be so.
Related to constraints and stresses, one of the big takeaways from the recent Board of Regents meeting was guidance on the next fiscal year budget and a $4.5 million reduction. Can you outline where that number came from and how the university will shore up that funding?
Well, we talked about two things on the financial side. And as we think about the university, we do have those philosophical discussions we just had, but there's also some practical ones, too. You know, we had two discussions at the board meeting that are definitely related. And one's this year's fiscal situation, and then that obviously leads right into the budget planning process. Vice President Dudley talked about the enrollment challenges that we have right now, and I think it's important to unpackage that a little bit. The enrollment challenges that we have are really coming from a 5-6 year horizon, which we had very, very large freshman classes and also some very good transfer enrollments. And that's a good thing. That allowed us to do some things, and that was brought on by some external factors, the economy and other things, and also through some internal decisions. And as those freshman classes in particular moved through our system, a lot of the students were not retained for various reasons, academic and otherwise. And then also at the same time, some students were very successful. That's why we've had the last three graduating classes, I think, have been historic highs for Murray State University. Now, with the new economic environment, with the new thing, we've had smaller freshman classes for the last couple of years, and our retention numbers has not been as high because of some things that we addressed this year with the higher academic standards. And so those freshmen came in and were not as retained at the higher levels that we're accustomed to, again, for various reasons. We're dealing with those pressures. What those have ended up is we have a much smaller junior and senior classes than we've had in the past. This year's freshman class is actually an increase over the past year, and also our new transfer numbers are showing a slight increase. But again, we're bringing in fewer students as more students are leaving us for graduation and are just not being retained. So that's the enrollment pressure, and that's not uncommon at many other universities across the country at this time. We're just able to, we are dealing with it as an upfront major. At the board meeting, Jackie reported that that's a $6.5 million downward adjustment from the budget. And it's important to realize that was a point in time was at the end of December. Since that time, we've seen some upward trajectory, which is good. The real big number will be how we are able to perform this in summer school one. We anticipate that will be able to lower that number significantly. As we deal with that number this year, we've built in contingency funding for our budget, so that will be a big help. Also, we've identified some general fund areas where we'll be able to offset some of those losses. So we will end the fiscal year pretty close to balance, like we did last year. Last year, we ended the fiscal year with a positive, I think, $100,000-some-odd. So basically, balance out of a $160 million plus budget. So again, we are very mindful. We were encouraging, obviously, prudent spending for the remainder of the year. We've got a couple things that we know we will be able to realize some savings. Our unemployment insurance is a little bit lower than we projected. So there's things along those lines that always balance that out. But we're obviously very mindful of how we end this fiscal year, because that sets the parameters for next fiscal year, which gets us into the budgeting process. We are, in my estimation, still about a year to maybe 2 years is a more working number of enrollments that will be slightly lower than the previous year. Again, we will have the lower freshman classes work its way out through the system. This year, as Fred Dietz reported, we're looking to have a higher freshman class coming in this year than last year. It's going to be about 100 higher than last year. But, you know, again, with more students leaving, we have a 2 year to 3 year horizon where we'll be balancing that out. So for budgeting purposes, if everything stayed exactly the same, what we're saying is that we'll have $4.5 million less in net tuition revenue than this year. And that's due to the smaller junior class we have now, which will become a smaller senior class next year, and et cetera. I am pleased to report that this year's freshman class and this year's sophomore class are larger than last year. So we will see, you know, again, some upward trajectory there. But again, to be conservative, and especially with revenues, we need to be conservative. We're starting off with a $4.5 million enrollment decline number. That can be offset by many things. That does not include, for example, a tuition increase. That does not include, for example, some other revenues that may be forthcoming in those type of things. As part of our budgeting process, we need to be very conservative. We are looking at, obviously, as I mentioned, a larger freshman class. When we get closer to that time frame is when we'll start counting that. We have I think Fred said that we are up around 6% or thereabouts in number of admitted freshmen as compared to last year. That's admitted. They're not here yet. We don't see the white of their eyes, so we're not going to count that revenue until the fact that that they're here. And again, that's just a solid budgeting practice. Again, the summer school will help us with that, those numbers, and help us with that budget. And so that's, too, something we're really pushing on summer school. At the current time, working very closely with all the vice presidents, all of the deans, and directors on ways that we will be dealing with this. Again, there's some general fund opportunities that we will be able to offset some of these areas. We do know that some of our costs will be going up, so we're projecting those as well. But again, we're just going through and trying to project at this particular time. A lot of different things that are going on. Tuition levels, caps haven't been yet determined. We've got a preliminary number from CPE, what they're thinking. That's around 3%. We would like to have more flexibility. Not that we would go higher, but just to have the flexibility to make that decision. So we will be arguing that case for us. Several bills in the legislature could have a direct impact on our revenue. So again, we're monitoring those. We've tentatively built those into, if they pass, what the decline of revenue would be. But if they don't pass, we'll be easy to take that out. So again, we're very much in the fluid moment right now. But what we're really looking at is how to absorb most of the reallocations at the general fund level, university-wide, but also working with deans and others on specific. One of the things that we've implemented this year is the Budget Advisory Committee, which is made up of two faculty members appointed by the Faculty Senate, two students appointed by the Student Government Association, and two staff members appointed by the Staff Congress. We've met with them and presented them kind of the first scenarios, which is not the prettiest, I have to admit, because you're dealing with, you have more variables at that particular time than not, and talk to them about, you know, various things that could change and move that process, and their input and their insights have been invaluable. We'll be bringing them back together probably in 2 to 3 weeks as we get more information. We can build in more finality, if you will, with some of the variables. There's a long way to go, but again, as we've done the budgeting process, this will be my third one. We try to do it as transparent as possible and as direct as possible, but at the end of the day, we will have a balanced budget. We will deal with enrollment. We are dealing with enrollment, and we have, I think, a very good plan to move that forward, as evidenced by the increase of freshmen this past year, increase of freshmen most likely this upcoming year, transfer students, and et cetera. Ultimately, our goal is to have a very stable freshman number, ideally, and this is over time, is to get that to be around 1,700. This year we're at 1,502. Working with Fred Dietz and his team, this year's goal is 1,600. It looks like they're going to be able to hit that, very, very close. And then over time, get to a point where we have 1,700. I don't expect this to be there, you know, tomorrow. I don't expect this to be there even next year. But keeping our mind on that level. And then also to have our transfer students coming in at about the 800 level. This year, the goal is 700. And the ultimate goal would be to get it around 800. What that would do is enable us to have a freshman class that would be very equal to our junior class. Then you don't have these fluctuations that we're dealing with right now. That's the prudent enrollment management strategies, and that's where we're trying to go. Some people have asked me, well, why don't you just try to get the 2,000 freshmen? Well, we're a university that's built on family. We're a university that's built on the connections of faculty and having our wonderful faculty having time to spend with all the students, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, having class sizes that allow for this dialogue that we talked about at the beginning of the show, having staff know students on a first-name basis, and not just know their first name, but also know some of their histories. And so if we went to 2,000 freshmen, just hypothetically speaking, then all of a sudden I think we have other stresses and we lose that intimacy. Murray State is a family. Murray State has that community. Murray State has that bond. And being the biggest is not always the best. We are the best when we focus in on our ability to work and collaboratively with everyone across the campus. And to me, that's what we need to stay at. So not only is this a quote-unquote financial goal of 1,700, it's also a cultural goal to maintain our commitment to the students, to maintain our commitment to having a family atmosphere at Murray State University, and to be able to work together in that environment. So again, that's the broad picture, the big picture, if you want to call it, of the plans that we have in place.
That 1,700, is that the number that's being sort of put out there, sort of forecast for the next budget?
For the next budget, what we're looking at is more as the, right now, our working number for the budget for the next fiscal year, we're actually at 1,500. As we get more intelligence and get closer to that time, we'll probably increase that up towards the goal of 1,600. Our goal stated for Fred Dietz, and again, I want to be very clear, in setting that goal was very much in collaboration with Fred and his role as leading the admissions team, understanding what's realistic, understanding the resources he has and everything else. And so he's the one that kind of forward the goal of the 1,600. And so that's the goal we have, but when we talk about budgets and finances, we want to be very, very conservative, mm-hmm. and we don't want to budget something with hope that they will come. Once we know they're coming, then we started making our adjustments there. Again, that's part of the fluidity of budgeting. Mm-hmm. To me, a budget is a plan. To me, a budget is a guideline. To me, a budget is a way we set things in motion. And we want to be as certain as possible as we can. I've always had the philosophy as well, and as does Vice President Dudley, is be conservative with revenues. And you set that first, and then you start talking about expenditures. A lot of other budgeting styles is you start with the expenditures and then you make the revenues match. And you could get that to work a couple times, but if you misstate the revenue side, that's the driver. And we are tuition driven. You know, we talk a lot about state appropriation. We talk a lot about performance funding. We talk a lot about what the state will invest in and everything else. We can control that to a certain degree, but one big item we can control much better than what happens in Frankfurt is our own tuition. That's why it came up in the board meeting a little bit when Dan Kemp, I think it was Regent Kemp, who mentioned to Fred that he's the admission team. And I jokingly but very seriously responded, we are all in the admissions game. We are all recruiters. We all have an impact on the potential students when they come to Murray State. When you see those yellow bags and they're on their tour, when people stop and talk to them and welcome them to Murray State, that makes a big difference. We are all part of that process. Then when the students are on campus, we are all part of the retention team. We all have a stake in that. It doesn't matter if it's me as president of the university or a faculty member or a staff member or whomever. We all can help students continue to feel welcome and feel the family atmosphere. And then obviously we all want to help them earn their degree at Murray State University. So we're all part of this big team.
Last year, Murray State faced a budget deficit of $9.1 million, which led to some programs being cut, some positions being cut, and vacancies left unfilled. So the $4.5 million that we're talking about, and I understand that the budget is very preliminary at this point, and that number could fluctuate and change. But my understanding from what you're saying is that a lot of that will come from the general fund, and then potentially some tuition talk, but nothing is set in stone.
We will. Obviously, tuition will, unless something drastic happens, tuition will go up. We are very mindful of students and the financial pressures that's on them and their families. And so we will obviously have that in our mindset. The scholarship model we put into place, for example, this last year helps significantly with that for the student's perspective. But we are looking at tuition increases and where those fall out at the end of the day. You know, it's hard to say. If our cap remains at 3%, it most likely will be 3%. If we're given the flexibility to go a little bit higher, we might, and I want to be very clear, we might go a little bit higher. We need to make sure that we're able to have equality programs. We need to make sure that we offer high value. We need to make sure we continue to have our tuition level at a level that is conducive for the students and their families, but at the same time reflects the value of Murray State University. As we discussed over the last 2 to 3 years, having 0% tuition and very low and being very mindful of that sends a different message and puts different stresses on universities. And what we did this past year with the resetting, as we call it, of the tuition enabled us to jump up a little bit and become more respective. And also, I have to say again, with a significant increase in tuition for our incoming freshmen, we had a higher number. A lot of people say if you had too much tuition, you're not going to come. Fred also mentioned, I'll point this out as well, the question was asked, the students who did not attend Murray State University and went to other universities, where did they go? He mentioned UK, EKU, Western Kentucky University. He also talked a little bit about Center University and then another university in Tennessee. The ones in Kentucky, UK, about 1,500 more in tuition, 2,000 more actually in tuition than Murray State. WKU, 1,500 more than Murray State. Eastern Kentucky University, I think about 900 more than Murray State University. And so when we start thinking about tuition levels, when we start thinking about those levels, there's some area in which we have some elasticity. And again, I'm not going to say that we want to just put everything on the student. That's not what we're saying. And I will not say that. We need to be mindful. We need to be pragmatic. But we also need to understand the amazing value that the Murray State degree offers our students and the other options that they are considering and taking and where we fit into that model. As I mentioned before, being the biggest is not always the best. Being the cheapest is also not always the best. And so we need to continue to fine-tune ourselves and be in that right position. We're in that mode. Beyond general fund type of stuff, there will be some specific programmatic changes that there always are. There's always a review of the programs and what programs are growing, which programs are important, which programs are not growing in enrollment, which programs need investment, which programs we're able to move away from. That's an ongoing process, and so I do not want to take that off the table. That's, you know, what good deans do is every year they're looking at their college and looking at their portfolio, looking at the opportunities, looking at the challenges, looking what's changed, looking at various fluctuations in the environment, various fluctuations within the college. You know, there's always dynamics that go along with that. And so you're always going to have that reallocation within the university, and this year will not be any different.
At the meeting, there was some talk, some preliminary discussion on reforms to, like, the healthcare services and auxiliary programs on campus, which are, like, includes dining, housing, printing services. Was that brought up as part of this discussion process for the next budget, or is that just kind of putting the information out there for a future budget?
It actually came up last year during our budgeting process, our budgeting discussions, and it presents a lot of opportunities. What are the things, you know, again, as a organization, what are we best at? Where do we need to spend our focus? Where do we need to spend our resources? And there was a lot of discussion about outsourcing and developing partnerships and growing things and various things along those lines. And so as part of the budgeting process last year, we committed to doing these studies. And this is a wrap-up of those studies. Mm-hmm. And do those impact future budgets? Absolutely. There's no question about that. I was very pleased with the reports that came back. I was pleased with the work that's been done, especially in the health services. There's a lot more work to be done. What is the appropriate level of health services do we need to have on campus for our students, for our faculty, and our staff? And in answering that question, you started then saying, well, how will we pay for those and who pays for those? And so, again, those are not easy decisions, and that will, you know, lead to changes in how we think about health services and other things on campus for the years to come. Where do we want to put our resources for the biggest return? Are there certain things that we can have a partner advance those services and expand on those services better than we can? What are the things that we can do in-house with the structures that we have better than having someone come from the outside? And there's a lot of thoughts and discussions all in between that. Again, it's about we have limited resources. Where and how do we put them to the best use for meeting the goals and mission of Murray State University?
Sort of on that note, with resources and partnerships, we've talked in the past about experiential and entrepreneurial efforts. A couple of these came up at the meeting, particularly the EDGE Center and then also the Center for International Business and Trade in Paducah. Can you describe these and their impacts in the region?
Well, the EDGE Center is, you know, we set a very ambitious goal that every student will have an opportunity for an experiential learning opportunity through their career at Murray State University. And a lot of great work is going on throughout the entire university. What the EDGE Center is basically corralling those resources and creating synergies within. There's a lot of different units, a lot of different efforts are going on. How do we centralize some of those to get the best bang for our buck and the synergies, and at the same time not lose the benefits of a quote-unquote decentralized model? To me, that's a fine balancing line, and that's why we are bringing some of the units together physically as well as organizational structure-wise, but also making sure that there's flexibility throughout the university. The thing about this also is it does not, with the EDGE Center, beyond the enabling for the physical space, is not a huge budget increase whatsoever. We're going to be using primarily existing staff and again, bringing the units together, and then also working more diligently on the communication between and among the various units throughout the university. Blackburn, with the Institute of Engineering, moving across the street to fill out the science complex. Blackburn provides an opportunity for that space. A lot of people ask about that fund balance that you have. Why is that important? Well, this is one of them, because we would be able to use funds to do the construction for there. So again, that's not a huge budget impact, but it is a worthwhile capital investment. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. Then the Center for International Business and Trade is a neat dynamic brought to us through some faculty members, specifically Sandy Miles and others, within the Arthur Baron Fine College of Business. There, they're leveraging things that are going in the environment, the free trade zone, the world free trade zone of Paducah, the barge system and industry in Paducah, the port system in Paducah, our campus in Paducah, and then also our logistics and supply chain management program and various other international business management opportunities. So you're bringing these external factors that are going on that are unique and present us an ideal opportunity to create a niche and to create what I think will be a stellar program, and leveraging the work of our outstanding faculty members in those various areas, and put them into a real world situation where we can be a hub, an answering source, a place for continuing education, for conferences, for symposiums, and then also to build up our programs in a robust manner, building up the student enrollments in those various programs. So again, it's really a win-win situation that I'm very pleased that the faculty within the Arthur Baron Fine College of Business sought out. Over the next 2 weeks, I'll be up in Paducah meeting with industry leaders who will financially support the efforts of this program. So again, it's a situation where we're not having to add a cost or our extra expenses from the university other than some time and effort and to move that forward. And the impact will be amazing. We've already received a lot of commendation and offers of collaboration from the World Trade Network in the Lexington area, various other associations that are eager to make sure that this happens because they can see the long-range benefit of it.
The presidential lecture is March 9th, and this year's topic is We Have a Dream, Are We Living It?, with a focus on diversity in higher education. There's three speakers, each connected to Murray State, Dr. Martez Hammonds, Dr. Jerry Sue Thornton, and Dr. Walter Bumpus. WKMS will be speaking with each of them ahead of the lecture. So my question for you is, why was this theme chosen for this year's lecture?
Well, it also kind of bounces off of the discussion that we started this program with. There's a lot of movement going on, a lot of interesting things that are happening across college campuses, specifically in the United States, a lot of things going on in our communities. And I thought it was important we can bring together three national leading experts on the whole notion of how do you make diversity initiatives not just a single measuring point, but a strategic agenda, a diversity agenda, a mindset for universities, and build that notion in that's part of being an excellent university. That's part of being excellent citizens. It's part about being robust in our various discussions. We want our students, and we want to be able to again collaborate and communicate on the global stage. And by surrounding yourselves with individuals who come from the global stage that bring those different perspectives, and how do you do that in a mindset that enhances academic and university excellence? These three individuals have done that through their career. Martez, the youngest of them all, a recent Murray State graduate, a phenomenal speaker, will bring in very personal perspectives that he has not only here at Murray State University, but through his initial career of 9-10 years in higher education, to show and to talk about the challenges our students and our communities are facing. Dr. Bumpus from a national level to talk about what are occurring across as he sees it through colleges and universities as well as communities at the national level, and the challenges and the opportunities that exist, and perlay how his Murray State experience also enabled him to operate on that global stage. And then Dr. Jerry Sue Thornton will round out the discussion about leadership and how it's important as civic leaders and industry leaders and obviously university leaders, but business leaders understand the role that they all play with surrounding themselves and be able to provide thoughts from different perspectives, to be able to put ourselves in the mindset of others, to understand our decisions and not just from our own sense of our own paradigm and our own histories and our own traditions, but how they reflect on others and how to make better decisions by being able to explore our own boundaries. So I think it's going to be a very provocative day. They will be on campus or throughout the day doing classes and seminars and everything else with faculty, staff, and some students. And then that evening, I think, will be very, very exciting. We've never done a panel discussion like this before with a presidential lecture. Three dynamic individuals with a plethora of wisdom and all have a Murray State story. So I think it's going to be a fun evening, very exciting. I think it's going to make us think. I think it's going to make us a little bit uncomfortable, and as we explore our own dimensions and our own thoughts. And to me, that's not a bad thing. I think expanding out a little bit and being challenged, I think, is an important part, an important time, especially right now where we are in the country.
Murray State President Dr. Bob Davies, thank you for speaking with me. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Matt. And again, it's great to be here at Murray State University. We have so many phenomenal things. We talked, about some of the budget pressures. We talked about some of the great programs that are going on. I think sometimes we get lost in that, and that we just concentrate on the things that are the challenges out there. We have so many opportunities and doing so many different things so very, very well. I had the opportunity over the weekend as I finished my run. I was all sweaty and dripping with sweat and talked to one of our new faculty members from the College of Education and Human Services. And he was with his family showing off our wonderful university and talking about the great programs that we have and the family atmosphere that we had that was not at his previous university at Georgia. Then I was able to turn around and talk to a longtime standing faculty member who's been here for 25 plus years and said, we've gone through all these challenges, but by every time we've gone through them, we've come out at the other end tighter and tighter and have a bond between our colleagues, and we can never ever lose that. And I thought that was just exciting. Then I was talking with two of our groundskeeper over the weekend who were dealing with the steam tunnels and how they feel empowered to work with students and the students that they know that they've been able to talk with and get an exuberance and a feeling of how their job matters so much because they're working to keep Murray State as clean and as comfortable as possible. Turned around and we had the TRIO students on campus, 500 plus, and talking to two of the BSTs and the buildings and how they were very proud to show off how clean they're able to make it and keep it clean as these 500 students came running through Blackburn and how they felt pride that their work was being noticed because students with these young women men were noticing how clean the facilities are. And so to me, there's an essence of pride that we cannot lose. So when we deal with numbers and we deal with all the different shortages and we deal with performance funding, it comes back to we have amazing people from top to bottom at Murray State University who contribute to our success every single day. And to me, that's what Murray State's all about. And so with that, God bless and go Razors.